Hello, everybody. Welcome to Teal Tinted Glasses Barracuda After Dark on Teal Town USA. Barracuda finish off the San Diego goals with a 2-0 shutout by Troy Grosnick. They take the series 4-1, which was a much more difficult. I thought the series was going to be a lot more closer than it was, and maybe the games were close themselves. Yeah, I'm doing the Barracuda dance. It's true. Tonight, I am joined by hockey jerk. Mr. Kevin Lacey is having some connectivity issues, but hopefully he will join us at some point. And also, obviously, once Zach gets done talking to all the players, their moms, their dads, random people in the stands, he will come on and join us as well. Hockey jerk, what did you think of the game? Just some opening thoughts here.
I thought again, just like game four, I thought the Barracuda started off well, and then they kind of got into almost kind of like a survival mode where it was just like, okay, we're winning. Let's just, not let the puck get past the blue line, and we'll go from there. And then ultimately, they ended up finishing well. I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but I almost expected the Barracuda lo to lose today, just because I was thinking San Diego was going to come out just totally all out, nothing to lose. And really, I thought the San Diego goals kind of just bottomed out. I mean, that's just my assessment.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think this is be really the last, especially I think the last two games, especially I think are really frustrating if you're a goals fan, because I feel like, they came out, especially in the second period, man. The goals were just all over the Barracuda for half of the period, and then, the Barracuda get a break. They get a goal, the Holuku goal, and it just. From there, you could just tell they were just deflated after that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just goes to show, it seems like every game that goes by, Troy Grosnick's shoulders get just a little bigger and a little stronger. So I'm thinking by the time the Barracuda, if they do make it to the end, I think Troy will be able to put not only the whole team, but the whole building on his shoulders and carry us to glory.
One would hope. And we're now joined by Kevin Lacey, who's finally been able to connect. Kevin, what are your thoughts about the game and the Barracuda moving on, obviously?
Yeah, those are my thoughts. No, it's awesome. It's so great. I can't believe that we had such little faith in the Barracuda that we had the audacity to pick them to win in six.
How dare us?
Unbelievable.
I feel though like I don't feel bad about that pick. I
No.
feel
There's a
like
reason why the goals had the third best record in the American Hockey League this year.
right. Yeah, exactly. And I think that if the Barracuda, I'll say if the goals, sorry, if they were able to like they're missing a lot of pieces that they had during the season when these guys played each other so tight. And I think that, I don't think that can be overlooked. I mean, obviously you have to play with the hand you're dealt, and the goals, did that admirably, but this wasn't the team that I was so scared of going into the playoffs, because to me, when the playoffs started, I said, this is like sorry, this is a team that scared me the most out of anyone they might face in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And obviously, my fears were, at least in this situation, unfounded.
Right. But you just mentioned that the goals, this was not the same goals team that that they've been icing throughout the season that the Barracuda have faced. There were a lot of rookies on amateur tryouts. There were a lot of call-ups from the ECHL, and you had guys like Sam Carrick and Spencer Abbott who were loaned from other AHL teams.
Correct.
I'm trying to think of all the names that were not there, but off the top of my head, Andre Cochet, Brandon Montour, Shea Theodore, Joseph Cramarosa. The Ducks lost him to waivers, and that really hurt the goals a lot. Corey Tropp was injured. I mean, that's like what, five, six guys right there, and I'm sure I'm missing four or five others.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, you got to give the goals credit. I'm curious to see, and obviously you won't really hear much from the AHL, but I would be curious to hear if Enroth was playing through something.
Yeah,
I just didn't look like Enroth.
Sorry, hockey jerk. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was just going to say, I'm almost certain that he is because, you know, after game four on bad, we talked about how he looked like he wasn't, you know, moving very well. I think it was Zach who brought up that point. And then just in general, he looked very off. And then tonight during the game, I had, you know, I had the San Diego feed and they were saying that the last two games, Enroth has really looked off his game. So I'm almost certain there's something wrong with him, whether it's, you know, a groin or something, you know, with one of his legs or maybe his hips. I don't know. It's somewhere in that area for sure.
Definitely. Definitely. I look at his rebound control and look at how many rebound goals the Barracuda scored.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, and you know, that's another thing too, because they were, you know, one of the things they said as well was how little rebounds Enroth had given up all year. And now all of a sudden he was giving them up every other shot.
Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely a control type of goalie. More names the goals didn't have. Stefan Nason, Logan Shaw, Chris Wagner. So,
yeah, I mean, this was a pretty depleted team. But, you know, I mean, this is the AHL. You play the hand you're dealt.
And what happened to the goals is what we were worried about would happen to the Barracuda. So
that's true. That's true. Yeah, if the Sharks were still playing, then I would be concerned that we would be, you know, minus a few players that have been kind of key through the playoffs. Timo Meier being one of them, which is a nice segue because obviously Timo Meier was thrown out of the game. Now it's hard because the thing with the AHL feed is that you get a single full motion. You know, it's not like the NHL where you see it from 17 angles in super slow motion. You see one full speed replay. And then when he wasn't even, you know, on the AHL feeds often, even in junior hockey, is if there's somebody on the ice that's actually hurt, they, you know, they just turn the cameras off.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard. You really got that one full speed replay from the single angle. You couldn't really see much. Like I couldn't see, you know, the San Diego goals announcers, you know, made it sound like it was this vicious elbow to the back of that. And maybe it was. I don't know. I couldn't tell from the single angle that I saw. But I wouldn't be shocked if Timo Meier misses more than just the end of this game. I thought he got away with a questionable hit yesterday. And then there was the flop, which was also very awesome. And by awesome, I mean not good at all. Kevin, what did you think of the Timo Meier hit?
Hated it. No, I really did hate that hit, though. First off, if you want to talk about flops, Stu Bickel with one of the all-time flops as well earlier in the game. And that really, to me, made it like a cry wolf situation when Meier hit him. I thought Meier obliterated him. I don't think he elbowed him in the back of the head. I think that's Craig Elston just being Craig Elston.
Right.
But I definitely thought it was 5 minutes for boarding and a game misconduct. I thought the hit was brutal.
I agree.
But with Bickel already taking a blatant dive, horrible dive, and laying there in the corner and the referee skating over and being like, don't be a freaking wimp. Like, come on. And then Bickel just gets up like when he realized he's being a jackass in the corner. I couldn't even, it was like, is he really hurt here? And then like you said, the camera cut away. So I don't know, but still worthy of a 5 minute major in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree, on the 5 minute major. I thought for sure, like as soon as I saw the hit and I'm like, well, there goes Timo.
Yeah. Timo time equals 5 minutes. In 15 minutes, actually.
Yeah, 15. What did you, Hockey Jerk, did you see the hit? What did you think of the hit?
Yeah, I did see it. I thought it was awful, you know, and I wanted to mention it yesterday, but I didn't. I had seen, you know, especially the games in San Diego, a lot of kind of that old Timo comes up where he's very aggressive, but kind of bordering on careless. And yeah. I thought, you know, seeing just flashes of it and then he was kind of tucking it away, which was good. But again, today, I think, like Kevin said, he just blew right into the guy and took him out and, you know, the thing that kind of stood out to me, and they mentioned it on the broadcast too, you know, you notice when Bickle was down, he was kind of kicking his feet into the ice, which, you know, in my experience means like, holy crap, this hurts so bad, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you obviously don't want to see that. But no, I didn't like it. I thought Timo made another similar hit yesterday that I didn't like. And I think I called it out yesterday too. He's going to have to figure it out. I like the aggressiveness from Timo, but I don't want to see hits like that on anybody. You know, there really shouldn't be any room in the, you know, this is the AHL, this is pro hockey. You shouldn't need a little stop sign between someone's numbers to know that you can't hit them there.
No, you're absolutely right. And like I said, I feel like the old Timo is, you know, kind of come up in very small doses, and he's done a good job of tucking it away. So I'm hoping that, you know, the hit yesterday and the hit today, I'm hoping that, you know, that's the end of it. And then we go back to NHL playoffs, Timo.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. Hopefully, I mean, I think that, that would be a significant, if they lose them for any games in the conference final, I think that would be a significant loss for the Barracuda, all that being said. But I'm not sure. Do you guys think that he's going to get called to the carpet and might miss a game or two?
I think he could. I think he's built himself up a little bit of a reputation, and that dive from game four didn't help. Like,
yeah,
I think that's the reason their eyes on.
Like, I feel like the possibility is definitely there. I don't want to know if I don't know if I want to go out and say for sure he's going to be suspended, but I did tweet after the hit that it wouldn't shock me.
No, definitely would not surprise me.
Especially if it was in fact, like, because we get the one angle. I'm sure the AHL has more than that to look at. I hope they do. Maybe they don't.
I do want to throw this out there. Just, it doesn't really fit in anywhere though, but I didn't like Sam Carrick's hit at the end of the game on Buddy Robinson.
I was getting either. No, I didn't like it either.
I thought that was just as cheap of a hit as Timo Meier's, but I guess Carrick won't get suspended either because Buddy didn't get hurt and he has pictures of puppies on his Twitter. So good for you, Sam Carrick. Way to be a man.
Yeah, no, I didn't like that Sam Carrick hit either. Especially like dying seconds of the game. It was a completely unnecessary hit. Again, right in the numbers. Again, there's just no place for it in hockey, in my opinion. Like, it's pro hockey. Don't hit people in the numbers. Seems like a pretty cool concept.
Exactly. Especially like you said, you know, it's dying seconds of the game. Like,
right.
It's, you know, you, even though the game wasn't over, you, in the back of your mind, especially you get to that last minute and you have the goalie out, like, okay, this is probably not going to go well. So, I mean, yeah, there's no place for it in this game.
No. I do want to say though, just because the announcing, because we kind of touched on the announcers a little bit, it was, I don't know, I was strangely satisfied by how just completely depressed they got as the last minute second.
I was listening to Nick Nolenberger, so
You missed yourself. If you just go back and catch the if you watch on a device where you can catch the replay, of the game, just go watch the last minute of the game and just enjoy it.
Well, anytime anything good happened for the Barracuda, it was like that too. Like, you know, on the second goal, it was like, oh, here comes Haluka. Oh, and he scores. It's 2-0 Barracuda.
I don't know. Like, I find, like, I mean, they're not Stockton, right? Like, Stockton's by far, I think, the worst commentary that I've heard. Period. But yeah, I was
speaking of the worst commentary that I've heard. No, I'm just kidding, Zach.
Oh,
I'm kidding, no. Zach. I'm kidding.
Zach, how you doing?
Oh, he quit. Oh. I was kidding. No. Come back.
Come back. Oh,
Jesus. Oh man.
Oh, I'm on timeout, guys.
Everybody say bye to Kevin. Bye, Kevin. No, but you know what? Other than just hopefully fill some time here while Zach comes back. You know, the goals commentators, I thought, besides, you know, sounding depressed whenever anything good happened for the Barracuda, you know, I thought they did a good job of like staying, you know, down the middle during the play, you know, especially I noticed they were just shoveling loads of compliments onto Buddy Robinson's game. And yeah. So that was nice to see.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, I don't know what, like, I thought they were fine. Like, yeah, they, you know, they kind of were like, oh, this penalty, blah, 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 but that's fine. I mean, look, I don't like every penalty that's called either. And I think you should be able to call out back and forth, whatever happens. Right. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. It was interesting though. To see, you know, because compared to like Stockton, like everything that the Barracuda did was like, oh, what a cheap play and or whatever. And then,
oh yeah. Know. Yeah, definitely. Like, and even when Stockton scored, it was like, you know, if they had on a headset mic, like you do, they're grabbing it right by their mouth. Like, oh my God, it's 1-0. It's like, okay, relax, you know?
Right. Yeah. Everything's a series winning goal.
Yeah, seriously. Other than that, though, I mean, just looking at the game as a whole, I thought the Barracuda did a really good job of saying, you know, hey, we're in a position to move on here. We need to not screw around, you know, which is, like I said earlier, was what I was worried about seeing.
Right. So just as I kill some time here. So if you want to see some Barracuda action, you can do so next weekend, May 20th, starting at 6 p.m. Pacific time. You can watch the Barracuda for $16. You can, you know, as low as $16 tickets, you can get your $2 beers and $1 hot dogs.
Is that promotion still going on for next round, we think?
Yep. Awesome. The Barracuda just confirmed it.
Nice.
So, I mean, definitely look at, you know, it's conference finals. We're going to get into the Griffins at some point tonight, and the Griffins are a good team. Like, this is the way I said this was probably going to be what the Western Conference final was when we played them during the regular season.
Oh, and yeah.
So far, I've been right. Yay me. Like, you know, I don't ask me about my NHL playoff predictions because they will prove that, you know,
yeah.
A blind squirrel finds a nut. But yeah, so Saturday night, May 20th, 6 p.m., you can catch Barracuda for $16, like I said, $2 beers, $1 hot dogs. You can also go Sunday, May 21st for game two, and that will be a 5 p.m. start. Same thing. Then obviously because it's a 3-2-3 series, they will be going to Grand Rapids for three games. Game three will come at you Wednesday at 7 p.m.
They're playing best of eight?
What the heck?
I don't know. 3-2, bro.
I caught that too, but I didn't say anything.
they got, what do we got here? We got game three is Wednesday, May 24th at 7. They say 7, but I can't imagine it starting in Grand Rapids. That's got to be local. So I'm going to say that's 4 Pacific.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that the Griffins are going to start a game at 10 o'clock. So 4 p.m. starts for Friday, the 26th in Grand Rapids, and for Saturday, May 27th, in Grand Rapids. And then if necessary, the series will come back to San Jose, where it will be, May 30th at 7 p.m. Pacific, and then Wednesday, May 31st at 7 p.m. Pacific. So, now there you have it. You can watch some hockey.
So,
and drink beers and
eat hot dogs, of course. So, there's something that I'm thinking about is, you know, in the first round against Stockton, we had three games at the SAP Center. And there were, I think according to the stats, there were close to 8,000 $1 hot dogs consumed. And then in the second round, we only had two games at SAP Center. So I'm worried that's gonna hurt the numbers of hot dogs consumed.
You know, I mean, I get the 2-3-2 look at it. It's not exactly a cash rich league. So the especially going to Grand Rapids. I mean, that's a lot of miles between San Jose and Grand Rapids. So I can understand why they don't go the 2-2 and then 1-1-1. But I still think it's kind of crappy for, like, you know, the Barracuda. They won home ice advantage. And I mean, it's nice if you, I guess if you have to go to game 6 or 7 that you have that on home ice, but it's, is it really home ice advantage? Like San Diego had three straight games after taking one in SAP Center. I mean, the series, you know, it's, if the series goes another way, is that really home ice advantage? I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. Kevin, what do you think?
Sorry, I was actually trying to pull up some matchup stuff with Grand Rapids. Are you saying what are my thoughts on the 2-3-2?
Yeah, the 2-3-2.
I'm perfectly fine with it. Just right. Because it's a cost cutting thing, and I kind of like the whole, you really are stealing home ice advantage in a way.
Yeah.
If you can win one on the road to start the series. What I don't like is how sometimes when it comes to building availability, you'll see the underdog start the series at home.
Right.
And that and do a 2-3-1-1 or a 2-2-1. I don't know even how they do it. But that when they start getting into that territory, that's when I'm like, I don't know.
You're telling me you wouldn't be excited for a 1-1-1-1-1-1-1?
Well, that's what I thought was going to happen with Grand Rapids, because, you know, they're so close to San Jose.
Yeah, Ian and I were talking about this. You could just walk there.
Yeah. You know, and now this actually, I'm curious to see the travel, because you guys talked about what's going on with Air Shark on the last show, on Game 4's show, if I recall. I'm curious to know what happens with the travel situation with Grand Rapids, because when Nikolai Goldobin was still on the team, I had a chat with him about travel, and he said that their way from Grand Rapids was fly to from Grand Rapids to San Diego and then take a bus back to San Jose. Like, they couldn't even get a flight from, like, Grand Rapids to San Francisco or Grand Rapids to Detroit to San Francisco to San Jose, something like that. Like, they still threw that stupid bus trip to San Diego in there, despite not playing San Diego. So I would like to think that their travel situation is going to get better here in the playoffs, in the conference finals.
That's what happens when you're
the
AHL.
Yeah.
You travel stupidly for the
at least they gave them the Sharks locker room at SAP Center finally. So
I don't care. Conference finals, I want to see a Barracuda at center ice.
Logo. Yeah, I agree.
The one bright side in all of this is, think about how many air miles they're racking up.
That's true.
It's a lot of miles. They could be platinum by the end of this year.
Oh jeez, that's fun. So let's talk about the Grand Rapids Griffins, I guess, because that's obviously our next opponent. What do you guys think of the matchup? Kevin, I'll start with you.
I'm a little concerned in the way of, I don't really think we've seen the true Barracuda versus Griffins matchup, or perhaps the one that was played in San Jose may have been the real one, where it was 1-0 in shootout.
Right.
Because the two games that were, was it two games or was it one game in Grand Rapids?
I believe it was two.
All I recall is the road game, maybe, in Grand Rapids was dominated by Nikolai Goldobin, who's obviously no longer on the team. So someone else is going to need to step it up here against a team as defensively sound as the Griffins are.
Yeah, I mean, the games that I saw, I mean, the Barracuda won both, but you could see in both games, I think, how good the Barracuda were and how good the Grand Rapids Griffins were, especially that one game, like you said, that went to the shootout there. That's right, the home game had the nice jerseys.
Oh yeah, the puck guy jerseys.
The puck guy jerseys, exactly. But I think they're going to be a challenge. You know, like, I think I wouldn't take those two wins during the regular season and just kind of just rest your laurels on that. I don't think Laurel likes having things rested on her, so don't rest those two wins on her, please.
Yeah,
we're 4 puns right now.
just before we this is what happens.
I just want to throw it in here. So they played in Grand Rapids on January the 27th, and they won 4-1.
Yeah.
And then they played the Puckeye game, which was March the 11th. They, like you said, 1-0 in the shootout.
Puckeye. Yeah. I thought his name was Eric Cuccio.
That's right. The designer of the Cuda jersey, Eric Cuccio. Come on down.
Nick asking, what's the NHL affiliate of the Griffins? The Grand Rapids Griffins are the AHL, the AHL affiliate, sorry, of the Detroit Red Wings. So they are, they have some good players down there, in Grand Rapids. You know, I have it up here. Give me a second. You know, some of the, Tyler Bertuzzi has been their leading scorer.
They have a kid who came literally out of nowhere to where I hadn't even heard of him. And he was like the third leading rookie scorer in the league. And his name's like Chris Cuolo or something.
Yep. Yeah. Kyle Chris
Cuolo. That guy has blazing like Marcus Sorensen speed. So we got to get Sorensen back in the lineup to match up against that guy.
Yeah. So Chris Cuolo is the center. He has four goals and two assists, in 8 games so far. So, Tyler Bertuzzi's been their big gun, though. 5 goals, 5 assists, 10 points. Yevgeny Svechnikov.
Yeah.
Don Cherry, this it's the best.
No, you did good.
3 goals, 6 assists, 9 points. So they you know they've got some weapons. They've got Martin Furk down there.
Furk, yeah.
Furk is money. That guy is a pure sniper.
There's some really they've got some really nice players down there on the Griffins, which shouldn't really surprise anyone.
Yeah.
Do they have Anthony Mantha back?
No.
But they did get, as Greg and I discussed on Wednesday's show, they did get Matt Laurito back from Detroit.
They did.
He's
got 4 goals, 4 assists for 8 points so far.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some good pieces there, and I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they match up against the Barracuda in a long series where I think, you know, again, 2 games isn't much to really base yourself off of anything. You know, a 7-game series is much more difficult than a couple of one-off games where, you know, the Barracuda, obviously, they generally play most of their games in the Pacific. They do venture out to play some Central Division teams, but, you know, again, it's 2 games, so it's not the same familiarity that you're going to get very quickly in a 7-game series. Yeah. Let me see here. I just want to look at something quickly, and then I don't want to look at it.
But also, the stats are a little misleading as far as the, offensively for the Griffins, in the sense I don't even remember who they played in the first round at this point.
The Griffins played, that's a fantastic question.
Cause I mean, they decimated the Chicago Wolves.
Like, they played the Charlotte Checkers in the first round. Or no, wait, no, they played Milwaukee.
They played Milwaukee.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. The Grand Rapids Griffins beat the Milwaukee Admirals in 3 games. In the first round.
It was a sweep. Yeah, so they swept Milwaukee. That's actually a little surprising to me. But they crushed Chicago. I mean, when you get Dylan McElrath even had 4 points. Come on.
No. You know, Chicago, I mean, Chicago, I think when you look at Chicago, they had, you know, they got the Charlotte Checkers took them the distance, which surprised me.
Yeah.
So I'm not really as surprised that they got as badly mangled as they did by the Griffins, considering the trouble they had with Charlotte, who should not have given them problems at all.
Right. But I'm just saying that their stats are a little offensive heavy because of the opponents that they've played so far. So, you know, the Barracuda are easily their toughest matchup, just as Grand Rapids is going to be their toughest matchup. Still surprised about San Diego, but Grand Rapids is going to be their toughest matchup so far as well. So it should be a great series.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be some great hockey.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, too, because like you said, Kevin, the 2 games in the regular season, it was a lot of Nikolai Goldobin. And it's going to be curious to see how they come out and who they put out to kind of make up for, you know, him not being in the lineup. So right. It'll be interesting. And like Ian said too, you know, this has been the, you know, I guess guessed or predicted conference final for as early as March, I would say. So yeah. It's going to be a good matchup.
It's going to be a great matchup. And then, you know, if they can get through this, they can, I don't think there's, if they can get through the Griffins, and I think they can, I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I really don't see a team from the East stopping the Barracuda.
Well, and that's the thing too. And, you know, obviously you have to take more into account than just the stats, but when you look at the Griffins stats, I mean, I almost feel like, you know, the guy who's in fifth or sixth on the Barracuda, you know, I don't have the numbers right on front of me, but I feel like the guy who's in fifth or sixth place for points could be top of their team in points. Like, I feel like the Barracuda just score more goals, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing with the Griffins though, is what, from what I'm seeing here is I feel like they're getting a lot more balanced output from their, right. from their players. And I think that's going to be a concern for, I think that'll be a concern for yeah. the Barracuda. I think the Barracuda are really going to have to watch that because the Griffins are getting offense from everywhere, whereas the Barracuda are really kind of heavily relying on two lines for offense right now.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be interesting too. And I, you know, I think the Barracuda though, I think, you know, they're, I think that I just like the blue line on the Barracuda better than the Griffins from an offensive perspective, especially.
Well, they got a couple of guys. They've got Russo and Hicketts who can definitely light it up. I do good on the Barracuda to win this game tonight though, because they both teams now get a week off. And I know that going into the Stockton series, I think it was Zach who said, or it might've been you, Ian, who said that the Barracuda haven't done very well after a long layoff. But the fact that at that time, the Heat also had an equally long layoff really right. balances it out. I think it's the same thing with this series. When you look at Grand Rapids, has nobody injured that I'm aware of, although I do look at Martin Furk and see he's only played 5 games, so I got to look into that. But the Barracuda have a number of injuries on their forward core, so they can heal up here in this next week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at they're missing, you know, getting they got Yevflovs back in the lineup tonight, who's obviously a player that I really, really like. But you're also talking about now, you're talking about, you know, the possibility of getting, you know, Rourke Sharche back into the lineup. And, you know, I think that's going to be important, especially if Timo's suspended. Like, then you need Sharche back in the lineup, yeah. in my opinion.
Yeah.
And who else? Someone else is injured, too.
Sorensen.
Oh, yes, Mr. Sorensen. Why would I? Don't know.
And I still think Dan Kelly's nursing an injury, too, even though he's a defenseman. But
yeah, I mean, getting Sorensen back, I think, would obviously help. But I getting Sharche back. I mean, Sharche, Sorensen hasn't super impressed me since coming back down from the NHL, whereas Sharche's just been the guy. I mean, the points don't show it, but he's been the guy for me.
Sorensen's shown himself to be a streaky player, I think, though, this season. Like, I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I think most scorers are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, I think that's just, like, score streaky. I think, like, I don't think there's anyone who's super, unless you're McDavid, I don't think. I think all scorers are streaky, unless you're, like, even like some of the top just pure scorers in the league can dry up at sometimes. You know, we've seen Ovechkin do it, who I think is probably the best pure goal scorer in the league. Just dry up.
Yeah. Gonna pull up that Bear Barons in the chat saying that the Griffins power play was 23%. I'm assuming that's in the regular season.
Might be in the playoffs.
Might be in the playoffs. Okay. Yeah, I gotta pull all that up. But I still think that the injuries will play a key role in this next series, just because this is a series that easily could go 7 games, and they're going to need an A+ effort out of everyone they can. And if they have to rely on Big Spence Spencer right. Asichuk and you know, and et al. That might be a problem again, because I do think that the Griffins have layers upon layers sitting on their bench.
They do. The Griffins are the best. They have the best power play of their remaining teams.
Okay. Well, hey, at least the Barracuda power play woke up this series, huh?
Yes. Something that's been very good. It's really jumped up. I think they're the second best one. So,
I would like to see who I would like to see get going. That line in general of, I think it's, but you know, before all the injuries happened, I think it was LeBanc, O'Regan, and Timo Meier. I would like to see that line get going. I mean, especially O'Regan, you know, he hasn't been awful in the playoffs. He's got, I think, 5 points in 10 games, but I mean, that's not the rate he was scoring at in the regular season. And, you know, with how many, you know, how much praise he got this season and how many points he did score, I would hope that he would kind of turn it into another level. Coming up for this series.
No, I agree with that. I think Danny O'Regan, I mean, is obviously a guy as you want more, you know, points from. But, you know, he hasn't, at least like his game hasn't been like, it hasn't been a train wreck either. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't want to like, I feel like his game's been for the most part solid enough, like where you want more points, but he's like, I kind of put him in the thing with Chartier where it's like, he just, they should come. They just haven't. Yeah. Where, you know, where a guy like Kevin LeBanc, for example, has been really, really up and down. I mean, now he's kind of on the upslope, but for a while, you know, Kevin LeBanc wasn't exactly, inspiring a lot of confidence. I mean, we criticized him on this show a few times earlier on in the playoffs. So I feel like with O'Regan, I haven't had that moment with O'Regan yet. Yeah, he needs more points, but I'm not frowning on his effort.
Yeah. Loved LeBanc when San Diego had the empty net and LeBanc was doing everything he possibly could to strip that puck and score.
Yeah.
I really liked the effort on that last shift.
No. Yeah, I thought Kevin LeBanc really came along in this series. Like he really, I felt he really came on after, in my opinion, a pretty poor showing in the Stockton series. So I think if they, you know, that's just it. I mean, obviously their big guns are going to have to be their big guns, you know, and they're going to have to rely on other, you know, they're getting scoring from other places too. You know, Barclay Goodrow's been really good. Ryan Carpenter's obviously been just the best, and
Ryan Carpenter too has been awesome.
Yeah, Ryan Carpenter. Yeah. Sorry, just reading something here. Nick. What are the rules to play in the AHL? What would Tierney have to do to be able to play? What happened. Let me explain this. So, in order to play in the AHL playoffs, you have to be on the AHL roster at the trade deadline.
Yes.
Now, the problem with a guy like Chris Tierney is that if you in order to send him to the Barracuda on the, you know, even just to do a paper transaction on the trade deadline, he would have to go through waivers. And then you would risk a claim to have a guy play in the AHL playoffs. It makes no sense.
Yeah, because of Tierney's age versus the number of games he's played in the NHL, correct?
Right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. He's played enough games now that he would have to clear waivers to go to the Barracuda. So that's a big part of the reason why waivers are there.
Yeah, that's even why Michael Haley was not sent down.
That's right. Yep. Because the Sharks just didn't want to have risk guys getting claimed on waivers, which makes, you know, perfect sense to me. And I think it keeps, you know, it stops you from just really, really loading your, you know, the AHL is still a developmental league. And I think it stops you from really loading up your team as soon as the, you know, your team's eliminated from the playoffs. Like no one wants to see, I mean, sure, people want to see it, but no one wants to see the AHL guys get completely just taken over by NHL faces. Yeah. Hey, guys, look, we found Logan Couture.
Well, Logan Couture was there at game one.
That's true. That's true. In the press box. Not even the press box. Luxury suite. What am I talking
maybe
about?
Maybe the Barracuda did actually try and bring Logan Couture and someone stopped him.
Hey, can you just meet us at SAP Center? Nothing's going on, I promise.
We should ask General Manager Joe Hockey Jerk Will if
that's right.
That's what happened.
Mr. Hockey Jerk, is it true? Can you confirm or deny that we tried to get Logan Couture to play in game one?
Well, so, you know, because you guys are my friends, I'm going to give you a little bit of information here. So as Kevin likes to mention, you know, there are a lot of times whenever they bring in, you know, a player, whenever we bring in a player from Allen or an ATO or what have you, you know, they're always either 45 or 97.
And yeah.
So what we did was we got the Couture jersey and we took the 3 off and we moved the 9 over and we tried to put him out there, but you know, they caught on. The refs were like, "Hey, why is this 9 falling off of this jersey? That's not who that is."
why do they look like, you know, why does he look like the metal faced guy from James Bond? I don't.
Right.
Oh.
All I can think about is, I don't know if you guys have seen this movie. It's that movie with the monkey who plays hockey, and they have this monkey dress up in this hockey gear, and the announcers are like, "Oh, I thought that guy was injured. He didn't know he was going to be back." And it's like 2 foot tall monkey. It's like, how do you not tell who that is?
Right. That's all I can think of. That's your no air buds, sorry. Rob saying Randy Hahn should announce for the Cuda playoff series. No, man, Nick Nolenberger, you know what? That would be crappy for Nolenberger. He's done a good job.
You know, that's the funny thing is, at the end of the game, since I was listening to the Barracuda broadcast with the video feed, I was thinking to myself, oh, if this was the NHL, this is where Nick Nolenberger says, "We're going to be taken over by, I don't know, True TV Sportsnet for the remainder of the series."
Oh my God. Doc Emmerich here to call the San Jose Barracuda.
I hear there's a lot of ESPN guys out of work.
this is John Butchagross with what's that fool's name? Oh, what's his name? Total Hot Take Central. I can't remember.
Barry Melrose.
Yes, Barry Melrose. Get him in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. You know, they got these $1 hot dogs here, and Troy Grosnick's looks like he's had 100 of them.
Now that we're making fun of commentators again, this is the perfect time for Zach to jump back in and then quit on me again. Zach, come back. I was kidding.
Yeah.
Oh man,
we want Zach.
So here I got a question, and it's not even Barracuda related at all. If the Ottawa Senators somehow win the Stanley Cup, are they the worst team to win the Stanley Cup since Drew Weber's Carolina Hurricanes?
Oh man, yeah. I don't know. Not unless the Flames somehow pulled it off.
No, and I said win.
Yeah. I don't know. They could be.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't believe so. So for those that are, you know, I know you guys are all dedicated Barracuda fans and you don't care about this NHL playoff nonsense. So for those of you that missed it, the Senators beat the Pittsburgh Penguins in overtime. It was 3-2?
It was. Yes.
Yeah, 3-2 in overtime. So they take a 1-0 series lead in that series.
No, 2-1.
Which I thought that, you know, I keep counting this team out, and I can't get behind them. I can't do it. I know I'm supposed to cheer for the Canadian team because that's what my media tells me to do, but I can't. This team makes no sense to me.
I agree. There's something just so weird about this team, you know, like I look at their bottom six and
it, right. Oh, 2-1 you know, Ottawa. Sorry, not 3-2, 2-1.
Right. I look at their bottom six and, you know, outside of like, you know, Pageau, there's not really a whole lot of lookers there. And then, you know, same thing on their defense. Like you got Carlson, Mathot, and CeCe.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, it's like none of these guys should be in the NHL. Like, what is happening? And then, you know, Craig Anderson, who I think at this point is like at least 100 years old, looks like he's 20, you know?
Right. And if you're like, I mean, obviously it's funny because it's like the tale of two countries, right? Because like just AO in the chat kind of bringing this up as well. It's like if the Sens make it, like, what is that? What are the ratings going to look like for this cup final, regardless of who wins the Preds Ducks series?
And that's where I'm thinking, like, this is why the NHL needs to promote more of their teams. When you have a team like Nashville, who got two national broadcasts against Pittsburgh, who had 27 or 21 or whatever it was.
Right.
Like, and they're on equal level playing field here now. Maybe you should promote the other teams, because if it ends up being Nashville versus Ottawa, they're going to complain about their ratings, and it's their own fault for not promoting these teams. Even tonight, the Ottawa-Pittsburgh game, all we heard about from Olchek and Pierre were the Penguins, 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 and every time John Forslund tried to talk about the Senators, it was more Penguins. So that if Ottawa ends up winning this series, what did they do for themselves to get ratings for the cup finals?
Yeah, I completely agree, especially Nashville. Like, Nashville is a team that you would think, as soon as, like, if I'm an NHL executive, as soon as I find out that Subban's been traded, I get Canadian teams don't draw well on US TV. I get that. So I completely understand that that's not going to be an amazing draw ever. Like, you're just, the Senators don't draw numbers here. They're sure as hell not going to draw numbers in the States. You know, I shouldn't say, I mean, I'm sure that the Senators draw okay, but they don't, you know, they don't do as good as team. If there's a Leafs game or a Habs game on, like, that's, you know, if there's three games at the same time, no one's watching the Sens game. Sorry, Senators fans. So I get that, you know, you don't want to put the Canadian teams on NBC. I get that. But the thing is, though, is Nashville, the second they got PK Subban, like, I would have, that's what I want. Like, that's the NHL does such a terrible job of marketing its stars. Like, I get that Sidney Crosby is a great player. I get Connor McDavid, even though that, you know, NBC didn't know who he was until the playoffs started, is a wonderful player. But they're, but, you know, you put them in front of a mic and it's like watching driftwood float in the water. It's not very interesting. Whereas a guy like PK Subban, like, this is when you want to, you know, these are the kind of players, the Brent Burns, the PK Subbans, that you want to market. These are the guys that make people interested in the game. And, you know, but instead, no, you have to have Mike Milbury calling him, you know, oh, he's a clown because he's dancing before the game, before he has, like, the best game he's had in the playoffs, right? But he's a clown. So, like, it just, I know I'm kind of just long-winded ranting here, but I just can't stand how they treat their, you know, the players that I think, you know, this old school hockey mentality, you know, keep your head down, don't be the story. That's not going to sell the game in the States. Especially when you look at the NBA. The NBA is built on star power, right? Like, you know, you want people to stand out. You want people, you know, to be allowed to speak and be a thing. And I think football, you get that to an extent too. And baseball, you definitely get that. And for hockey to just try and, trying to keep that, you know, always, you know, you don't be bigger than the team, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's just, I don't get it from a marketing perspective.
Right. No, agreed.
So something that I would think would be interesting. So, you know, when it's two American teams, they sing the Star Spangled Banner. Mm-hmm. When it's two Canadian teams, they sing O Canada. And when it's one of each, they sing both. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine? Okay. Picture this. Stanley Cup final on NBC Sports Network, Ottawa, Edmonton, mm-hmm. and they sing O Canada, and then that's it.
No,
no Star Spangled Banner on your American TV, folks.
Yeah. Ooh.
Sad.
Pop quiz for those of you in the chat. When was the last time two Canadian teams played against each other in the Stanley Cup finals?
Hmm.
I think I know the answer to this.
I don't.
Oh. I want to say Montreal, Calgary.
See, I was thinking Calgary too, if it was. No. Okay. 1919, says Chuck McDestiny. I don't think it was that long ago, but
Puck guy
says 1989, and that's kind of where I was thinking too.
89?
That was Calgary, right?
Calgary beat Montreal.
Okay, there it is.
I want to say that's what happened, and then the Oilers. Because, because it was after the Oilers did their thing. So I want to say, I think it was. Was it 80? Or is it? I don't remember now. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Calgary won.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bring, go with that. Bring Puck Guy on just to say Vancouver. Oh, no.
No, not doing that.
I'll bring Puck Guy some Puck Guy facts for you guys.
Oh, Puck, I want some Puck Guy facts.
Well, Puck Guy texted me a couple nights ago and said that the San Jose Barracuda are the first Sharks top affiliate. The first time the Sharks top affiliate has won three games in the second round since 1998-99. And they obviously have now won four games in this series. But that was the Kentucky Thoroughblades when Roy Sommer was in his first year as Sharks affiliate coach. Furthermore, this is the farthest a Sharks affiliate has made it through the playoffs since the 1995 Turner Cup playoffs when the Kansas City Blades went to the finals, despite having the third worst record in the regular season. But they made it to the finals. And what up?
I think we're laughing at the same thing.
Go ahead.
Whoa, Puck Guy is able to text now. When did AOL start doing that?
No, Allen Americans don't count because it's not the top affiliate. ECHL is a tier below.
Yeah, I clarified it in the first one. I did not clarify it in the second fact. Yeah, top affiliate.
Nick also, he's on fire tonight in the chat. If the Canada only final does become a Netflix original series, I said yes, maybe in the States.
The Stanley Cup final is between Ottawa and Edmonton. Here's your tape.
Oh man, that's too good. That is too funny. All right, guys. So I have good news and I have bad news. That's actually all good news, really. We're coming up on an hour, so we're gonna cut this at some point soon. The good news, good news is Wednesday night. I would like to, potentially do a show where we can actually talk some NHL.
Okay. Well, we don't have to worry about a Barracuda game 7.
I'm going to come on and do it by myself. Oh, by myself.
Celine.
Yeah.
Canada's own Celine Dion and Ian Reid in a 12-song compilation. 1999 plus shipping and handling.
1999 American.
$29.99 Canadian.
All right, I'm gonna close off this.
That's probably a good idea.
All right. So I think, like I said, don't write it firmly on your calendar. I'd pencil it in. Wednesday night, I'd like to do a show. I think maybe probably 7 Pacific, like normal. Mm-hmm. And we'll catch you up on the NHL playoffs and other NHL news, and it'll be fantastic. We talked about this on the show yesterday. I don't, Kevin, we haven't got your take on it though. What was your take on the Ben Bishop signing?
Oh, you know, I don't mind the signing, because Ben Bishop obviously has the injury concerns. But you look at him replacing Lehtinen and Niemi basically at the same contract value, more or less. Around that range. And I don't think that, yeah, injuries are bad for goalies, but you can't write off a goalie just because he's often injured. Look at Dominik Hasek. Dominik Hasek's career was over, whatever, because he missed 1 year in what, 99, 2000 or something like that? Yeah, no, he won a couple more Stanley Cups, like with Detroit. Don't worry about Ben Bishop's history, at least not right now. I like the signing for Dallas, and they just got to figure out what they're going to do about buying out their existing goalies, which they should just do both, and then they can both battle for KHL jobs.
I think they keep Lehtinen because the buyout for both would be pretty painful.
Okay.
I think you keep Lehtinen. The Niemi's buyout, I think Niemi's the guy that gets bought out. I said this last night, $1.5 million for the next 2 years.
And Lindy Ruff is gone now, and Lindy Ruff was probably the biggest hater of Kari Lehtinen of them all. So at least Kari Lehtinen might be able to get a little bit of confidence back next season by not having Lindy breathing down his neck.
Right.
No.
And then not only that, but you know, Kari Lehtinen, if you bought out Kari Lehtinen, I think it's 2.9, I think, this year, and then 1.5 the next, which, so obviously, I mean, it buying out Niemi, in my opinion, is a no-brainer. It's pretty painless. I mean, obviously, if you're Jim Neal, you pray to God that Vegas is dumb enough to take one of your goalies. They're not going to. There's just too many better goalies out there. So you just, you cross your fingers and hope for the best. And then when it doesn't happen, you buy out Niemi, and that's that. I don't think anyone signs Nemo. Honestly, I think Nemo goes back.
Really think he goes to Jokerit in the KHL next year.
I was going to say he's going to sign with somebody in Finland, whether it's Jokerit or, you know, Kevin and I have had this conversation, like the two Finnish teams that seem to produce like everybody. It's Karpat. He could go there. Or Tappara.
Yeah. And the funny thing is both teams are based in Tampere. But it's the sad thing is that you can play for a Finnish team in Finland and make good money, or you can play for a Finnish team in the KHL and make great money, although you may not actually get paid.
That's right. And look, it, I'm sure there's a team in Finland that needs somebody to drive the Zamboni and play goalie.
I think he might even be a part owner of the Lahti Pelicans at this point too. So,
well, he played for them.
Yeah.
So I don't know though. Here's the cool thing though about the KHL is, excuse me, you sign there now.
Right.
As opposed to signing there in July, and your IOU for Russian rubles is much more valuable.
That's true.
You could get an IOU for like 10 billion rubles, or if you wait till July, it's going to be like an IOU for 5 billion rubles.
That's true. And you get to play in the Olympics.
Yeah. And nothing can take away, you know, so many pat on the backs and attaboys you'd get by playing in the KHL. Hey, 40 save shutout, attaboy. Oh, when am I getting? Oh, when am I getting paid? Yeah. Good job.
All right. What a gong show this has been. All right. So to recap for you guys, the San Jose Barracuda move on to the Calder Cup Conference Finals on the west side. They will play the San Diego Griffins, the Grand Rapids Griffins.
West side.
That series will start Friday, Saturday. I will be there. It will be best. I will not be there, but I'll be here doing this Friday, Saturday. And then we'll go from there, obviously, like we did on the other weeks. So go Barracuda. Thanks for watching. As always, make sure you check out Teal Town USA. Make sure you subscribe to this channel if you have not already. Make sure you, I wish I could go to Grand Rapids, but the border guards won't let me pass. I have no ID that says come to Grand Rapids. My trip will be drive 5 minutes to the border and then get turned around. Grand Rapids, about 4.5 hour drive. So if I had like a passport or an enhanced driver's license or something, I would totally want to go. I don't have the money to go, but it would be super high on my list of wants. Yeah. But here we are.
Hey, but bravo to everyone. I mean, a lot of Barracuda fans went down to San Diego these past two days.
Kudos to you guys.
Wish we could have seen you all on the Jumbotron feed, but obviously you're not going to get on if you're not wearing goals gear. But a lot of Barracuda fans. Hope you guys met up with Greg down there and just met up with other Barracuda fans. And I know you all had a great time. So be safe traveling back up here. And unfortunately, I can't actually make the game next Saturday night, but I'll see you Sunday.
Yeah. Question. Can't I just get a passport? You just don't get a passport in a week. It just doesn't happen that way. These things take time. Yeah, there's no way you could get something like in a week that would.
here's what you do. Just get a piece of paper. Okay.
Right.
Write in crayon, preferably. Just write American. And put a $100 bill in there.
Oh,
and so when they're like, oh, passport, sir, just be like, yep, here you go, American. And they're like, oh, okay.
Nope, I haven't.
This has been passport advice with Joe Will.
That's right. Yes, passport advice with Joe Will. Yeah, look, passport. I haven't had a reason to travel into the States. Just all there is
passport
to it.
Fraud.
Passport fraud
on Hilltown USA.
There you go. And question, why are the Blue Jackets so awesome? Because they got killed in the first round. I don't know.
Because they have a cannon.
They have a cannon. Yes, cannon. Done. All right, that's it. Good night. Have a good one. I'm stopping this madness.